Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our series on biblical characters. Today our study centers around Korah, the critic. Korah, the critic. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, with me, and chapter 12 as our starting point today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in this chapter, the Lord likens the body of Christ to a human body. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin in verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Now, the human body has many members, and each member has its own particular purpose. Each member rejoices when others are honored. Each member helps the others. All members work together for the good of the body, but the head makes all the decisions. Christ is the head of the body, and different Christians form the body. For example, some Christians are like the eye, another like the ear, another like the nose, another like the tongue, another like the foot, etc., etc. This means that no two of us are exactly alike. Each of our jobs and tasks is different. Each of us needs the other, and none of us need to be jealous of the other. For each of us is to find his place in the body of Christ as the will of God directs. So, my friend, it is absurd when one member of the body is jealous of another, or members of the body not helping each other, or there being a division of the body. In the story of Korah, we find in type, amen, a picture of a group of people not willing to accept their places in the body of Christ. Of course, we know in the Old Testament, no such thing as the body of Christ existed. But Korah is a picture, a type of people not willing to accept their place in the body of Christ. Back then, Moses was the leader of the people. Aaron, his brother, was the spiritual priest. Korah and his family were the family of the Kohathites. And it was the job of the Kohathites, being of the tribe of Levi, to work in the tabernacle. Their particular job was to carry the tabernacle furniture from place to place. They had to cover it without looking on it, and then with staves they were to carry it. The pieces were carried much like a stretcher is carried, the staves going through the rings on the corners. Maybe they were carried by the staves being placed on the shoulder, maybe held by the side with the hands and arms at full length. However, the Kohathites became dissatisfied, and Korah rebelled. They wanted to do Moses' job, or Aaron's job. Hence, we have the story of Korah's rebellion. And the first thing we want to look at here in our study is they were dissatisfied with the task that God had given them. They were dissatisfied with the task that God had given them. Let's turn together to the book of Numbers in chapter 16. In Numbers chapter 16, let's look together at verses 8 and 9. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray ye, the sons of Levi. Seemeth but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. You see, their task had become small to them. This is so often the case with the people of God who do not realize the importance of the little task. Theirs was only the job of carrying the tabernacle furniture. But what a job it was, amen? What an honor it was. If the work of God is to prosper, my friend, every person must realize the importance of his job and must do it with all of his might. Each task should be done as if it were the biggest task of all. My friend, do not be envious of another's task or another's place in the body of Christ, but rather do the job God has given you and do it to the best of your ability, realizing every job for God is a big job. Amen. And I can see it within my own Christian walk. I remember when I first got saved, amen, and the pastor of that church asked me if I would be so kind as to pass out the bulletins as people anxious entered the sanctuary. And I said I'd be more happy to do that. I'd be glad to do it. I took it seriously that it was an important task that God had given to me to do, to see how faithful I would be at it. And I was faithful at it. I gave it out cheerfully, amen. As people came into the sanctuary, passed out the bulletins. And over the years, God gave me different positions to do, amen. And as I was faithful to that position, he gave me another one of, say, of more importance, and so forth and so on. And as a result, I got quite a wide range of experience. And I couldn't see at the time, but I can see now that God was really preparing me to enable me to be a pastor, putting me into the ministry. And I handled every job that God had given me faithfully, be it song leader, deacon, Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher, cleaning the church, whatever it was, I knew that it was important to God, that no job was too small. Amen. Now, the second thing we want to see about Korah and his group is they were jealous of someone else's job. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 16 and verse number 10. We read, And he hath brought me, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. Seek ye the priesthood also? You see, my friends, Korah and his group, they wanted the priesthood. But God had given that to the sons of Aaron. How sad it is when one Christian wants another Christian's job. You see, we should not covet what God has given another to do, but rather we should do what God has given us to do to the best of our ability. The third thing we want to see about Korah and his group is the complainarity of the leader. They complain against the authority of the leader. Look in Numbers chapter 16 again in verse number 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Therefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. We see this is inevitable. How many times it has happened, my friend, they decided that Moses was taking too much authority and had become a dictator. Now bear in mind, God had given him all the authority he had, but the people were not willing to follow. You see, for any organization to prosper, there must be a leader. A nation needs a president or a king. A state needs a governor. A city needs a mayor. A church needs a pastor. The authority is of God, and we are to respect that authority. One of the greatest tragedies of our day is not only a lack of strong leadership, but a lack of what I call strong followership. God's people are to follow the man of God as he follows Christ. Amen. Then we see they became critical of Moses and Aaron. Again, we read verse 3 of Numbers 16. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And how tragic this is, my friend. Notice what we read, what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse number 17, we read, Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You see, my friends, the preacher, the pastor, should always be given the benefit of the doubt. You know, this is not to say that the preacher is always right, but it is to say that if he is a man of God, he will be right most of the time. And the safest plan is to follow him again, as long as he's following Christ. And what this means that in matters of spiritual activity, he is to be trusted and followed. As long as it matches up with the Word of God, amen? Being critical of the man of God, my friend, is an awful sin. Being critical of the man of God does not necessarily hurt the man of God. At least it did not in this case. The critical people are the ones who are hurt most of the time. It's much better to be criticized, my friend, than to be the critic. It's better to be hated than the hater. It's better to be talked about than the one who does the talking. How wicked, my friend, is the sin of criticism. The fifth thing we want to see in our study today about Cora the Critic is we see the world looks better to the critic. The world looks better to the critic, the one who's complaining, amen? Again, in Numbers chapter 16, in verse number 13. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Now you will recall that the nation of Israel had come from Egypt, and Egypt was the land of cucumbers, onions, leeks, and garlic. They were going to the promised land, which flowed with milk and honey. You'll notice here in the verse we just read that Egypt looked like a land of milk and honey to them. And this is always the case with the world. The farther one gets from it, the better it looks, and the more critical one becomes, the better it looks. The less one does his duty, the better the world looks. The more jealous one becomes, again, the better the world looks. The world had begun to look different to them. They wanted to go back. That's right. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You see, they had a short memories. They had forgotten the rigor of bondage, the slavery that they were under, and the starvation that they experienced. They wanted to go back. The truth is that becoming critical of the man of God generally indicates worldliness as a rule. Naturally, the entire world looked better to them. Now, the sixth thing that we want to look at here is these were well-known people of the church, Cora and his group. They were well-known people of the church. Again, in Numbers chapter 16 with me. In Numbers 16 and verse 2, we read, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. You see, my friend, there's a great danger in being successful. Probably more people have stumbled over success than over failure. And we see here in verse 2 of number 16, these men had had some success. They were well known. But they were not able to take their success. Now they wanted more power. Power that was not theirs. They wanted to do Moses' job of leading and Aaron's job of the priesthood. A lot of times with promotion, authority, yes, even growth in the group, there comes a tremendous danger. The truth of the matter is many Christians are wonderful men and wonderful women until they become successful and somewhat of a leader. What happens is they lose their perspective. They lose their spirituality. And this, my friend, is always a tragedy. The seventh thing we want to see is they were disloyal. Cora and his group were disloyal. Here is one of the greatest sins of all, the sin of disloyalty. Children should be taught early in life to be loyal to church, loyal to the pastor, loyal to God, loyal to parents, loyal to country. Especially should one be loyal to his spiritual leader? Again, I always make a note as they are following Christ. The eighth thing here we want to look at is God's people were commanded to stay away from the gossips. God's people were commanded to stay away from the gossips. Look in Numbers chapter 16 again with me, if you would. Numbers chapter 16, we want to look together at verse number 26. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Now, bear in mind, it takes both an ear and a tongue to complete gossip. If there is no one to hear, no one can talk. Every Christian should be diligent about refusing to listen to critical talk about spiritual leaders. Amen? One reason is that it's a dangerous thing. Those who listen to critics and hang around them, you know what happens? You know, birds of a feather flock together, then they eventually become a critic themselves. Amen? Though God knows his leaders aren't perfect, he wants his leaders to be respected and often punishes people who fail to respect them. Amen? I've seen it over and over again in the ministry. Those who are critical of the pastor, amen, God ends up judging them. I've even seen a case where God has taken another Christian home early because of what he said about the pastor, the spiritual leader of the church. Amen. God doesn't play around with things. He doesn't want you to be critical of his man. Amen. Especially when that man of God is faithfully serving him, feeding the flock of God, doing what he's supposed to be doing. Amen. You know, shame on you if you allow the devil, and that's where it's coming from, the devil, to influence you to speak against the man of God. We see here the last point we want to make is it is always the critic who had it bad. Following up on what I just said, God judging those that criticize the man of God. Look at in Numbers chapter 16 with me. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. So we see as a result, this is a result of Korah, the critic and his group, rebelling against God's authority. Because that God put Moses in that position that he was in as leader, Aaron and his sons as the high priest. So Korah and his men were rebelling against God, amen. That's who he was rebelling against, amen? Because God had given Moses and Aaron the authority that they had. Numbers chapter 16, verse number 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. So we see the ground under Korah and his men split in two, open right up. Look at in verse 32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, in their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. Can you imagine the sight that must have been? The earth just opening up and swallowing all of those who had rebelled with Korah, and all of their possessions and all that had pertained to them, just gone up and swallowed by the earth. Amen. Looking in verse 49, we read, "Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah." What an awful price rebellion brought. Amen. 14,700 souls were lost, were destroyed because of rebellion, because of being critical, amen, against God's authority. You know, the Word of God says things written in the Old Testament, written aforetime, were for us to learn from. So what a serious lesson here. Amen. Well, you know, God may not act so dramatically as he did back then in his judgment against Korah and his group. But rest assured, amen, as I said before, as I've just said a moment ago, I've seen God take a Christian home early because of their criticism. Amen. Their criticism about God's man. You know, God puts a man into the ministry, and God will take him out if he wants. That's not your job. That's God's job. Amen. If he is doing something wrong, God would deal with him, as he deals with all of us Christians. Amen. So that's important to remember. So we see the reason the man of God, the pastor, doesn't want you to criticize him is not for his sake, but rather for yours. Because if he truly is a man of God, if he's truly the spiritual leader that he should be, he wants you, the individual Christian, to be good, a good, strong Christian, growing in the grace and admonition of the Lord. You know, it really, in some way, scares me when someone's critical of me, especially when it's unfounded, amen? You know, none of us are perfect, amen? Pastors make mistakes, and they should ask for forgiveness if they do, amen? But when someone is critical, and they shouldn't be critical, of a man of God, look out. I get scared, because who knows what God is going to do to that individual, amen, for their price of rebellion and criticism. You know, the thing about criticism, it's often the first step toward a backslidden life. You know, I've seen people very supportive of me do a 180 degrees and turn on me. Amen. And it's because they're backslidden. Amen. They're not walking with the Lord the way they should. Because if you are, you wouldn't be critical of the man of God. So what do we need to remember? Let each of us be careful to keep a sweet spirit and not become a part of someday, amen, some modern-day Korah's critical crowd. That concludes our study today on Korah. When we meet again on the Pastor's Study, we'll continue our study on biblical characters. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the Pastor's Study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.